Would you open up your Bibles to the epistle of 1 Timothy chapter 6? 1 Timothy chapter 6, we'll start reading at verse 12, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. You know, you're blessed this morning because you know Jesus. You know the source of knowledge. But you've got to hold on to that truth, that source of knowledge that you have, because we've got a whole world that is lost and dying, and we've got a whole world with that is being influenced by spiritual wickedness in high places. And, you know, they're making some of the strangest decisions. I mean, you and I see the decisions our government makes and in different governments in the world, and we just shake our heads because we don't understand why they're doing what they're doing. And they tell us to trust the science, trust the science. And that's what Paul is talking to Timothy about. He said, you need to know that there's going to be an increase of science. There's going to, and Daniel prophesied about that. He said that was one way that you would know that the coming of the Lord was nigh, because science, knowledge was going to abound and keep increasing. And that's where we're at. But the thing of it is, it's not increasing from the revelation of God if you don't know Jesus. Right. And if you don't know Jesus, there is a what? There's a false Jesus. Yeah. There's an antichrist spirit that the epistle of 1 John talks about in chapter 4 that's already in the world when he wrote that. Can you imagine how much more prominent it is this morning? And that antichrist spirit, we look at it and we think, well, we can recognize it easily because anti in English means to be against. But in the Greek, it doesn't say antichrist. It says instead of Christ. So the devil, he's not dumb. He knows how to get the world. So he's going to use a different method of operation to get you, the church. And so we need to be on guard. So that's what Paul is building Timothy up in this morning. That's what he wants to build us up in. So if you're in 1 Timothy chapter 6, let's start reading at verse 12. And if you're there, say amen. The Word of God says fight. You know, this here means that you're in a battle. Yeah, I mean, not for your salvation, but for your testimony, for your livelihood in the gifts and callings of God. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, or until thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, till the appearing, oh, we're getting close, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only Potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. But let's not stop right there. Keep reading just a second. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, and that they may be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now notice this. I want you to remember verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science. There's that science knowledge, oppositions of the true knowledge of Jesus, oppositions of science, falsely so called, in other words, untruly named. The science of the world isn't named correctly. It shouldn't be called science. It should be called a falsehood, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Now, notice this, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. That's who you and I are. We're concerning and talking the faith. So we need to be in awe of this and pay attention. Grace be with thee. Amen. Brother Larry, would you pray? Yes. Yes. That's right. Yes. That's right. Yes. Oh, yes, yes. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Larry. How glorious. Thank you for honoring the word. Thank you for being here this morning. I know we've all been going through a lot of things and situations, but thank God for each other's prayers and the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Amen. So Paul here is trying to get Timothy in that place, in that position to be ready for this science, this knowledge that was abounding. And see, I think God tried to get the church ready for what we're dealing with right now, but I don't know about you. I didn't understand. If I'd understand what God was saying a few years ago, it would have changed my whole perspective. I mean, would you ever thought we would be where we're at right now, where what they're doing to our children and what the decisions that they're letting them make and all of it is coming from this spirit that's in this world that brings confusion, all of these things. We're in a place where science, if anybody starts talking about science, you and I in the church, we get nervous. And so that's what Paul is trying to get Timothy in that place, in that position, to say there's going to be some things that's going to cause you to have to fight the good fight of faith. You're going to have to stand strong, because the devil is very articulate. He's very methodical. The devil doesn't care how long it takes to move you from your place of faith. He's steadfast in his deceitfulness. He's loyal to all the ways that would try to bring destruction to you and I, because that's all he's about. He is death. And so you and I, we've got to realize that every time that we hear something, Sister Johnny, you're walking in a new level this whole year that you've never walked before in your life, and you've had to fight for it. You know, but you got to hold on to it. Every one of us, you've been believing God and you've been seeing some things. Brother Corey, like you said this morning, we know what the scripture says. We got to stand strong in that. Yes, temptation, it's there. But we know who to depend on. We know who to turn to. And so when we do that, what are we doing? We're fighting the good fight of faith. In other words, we're holding on to that word. We're believing the word over what we're seeing in the world. Because you're not of the world, amen. You're of the Holy Spirit. You're born of God. And so we got to be in that place. So let's look at this just a moment of time. Look back at verse number 12. He said, fight. He said, you're going to be in a close conflict. You know, I don't know about you. I can think back and when I had a few fights in the natural. And you didn't fight from across the room. I mean, you was up close and personal. There's a bully jumped on me one time in the fifth grade. And you know, you're close enough, you feel each other's breath. You know what I mean? You know what's going on. And so that's the way it is. You're gonna feel the breath of the devil. You're going to feel the breath of his lying spirits. But you have the Holy Spirit in you, that when I talk about the breath of the devil, I'm talking about words that come out of his mouth, words that come out of the lying spirit. But you're going to be able to discern that because you have the Holy Spirit in you. And when you hear that, then you've got to make a stand. And you've got to say, now, wait a minute. Boy, in theory, that sounds right. At the first time I look at it, the first time I hear it, okay, that makes some sense. But then all of a sudden, there's going to be something down and deep in your spirit. Yeah. And that Holy Spirit is going to say, don't look on the outside. Right. Look at the meaning behind what's being said, what's being revealed. And that's what Paul is trying to get Timothy. That's what this epistle is trying to get to the church, is trying to get us in a place, in a position where the devil's going to do things that look good, that sound good, that's beneficial. And he's going to get a world church to follow him. The Bible says the whole world is going to follow after him. Aren't you glad that you're not in the world church? You're in the church of the living God. You're in the church of Jesus Christ. And so you're going to have to be in that place. I'm going to have to be in that place where we recognize that and we fight it. Now he said, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Notice this. Why are you doing this? Whereunto thou art called. You've got a calling this morning in the plan and the will of God. And so as you start walking out this calling, Brother Corey, I remember when you got your first guitar, you know, and you started, it was on your heart. You knew that you had a calling in your life, and you started working on that. Well, as you started that, you had a little opposition. But as you stand up here this morning, leading a group of people in person and on the internet, you lead that, your opposition has grown. Because when you start stepping deeper into your calling and you start walking it out, the fight gets greater. It gets bigger because all of a sudden, the reality of that calling that Jesus made on you from the foundation of the world. Come on, he called you. When that starts coming to a place where you start getting productive and you start taking ground from the enemy, oh my, here comes the devil, here comes his lineups. He starts organizing and arranging things. And so as you get ready for this new year, you've got to be on guard and you've got to be ready. I got to be on guard and be ready. The devil will send people in your life, and he's not going to send pure evil in your life all the time. Sometimes he does. But you'll recognize that he's going to send something that will try to deceive you and try to you where you're not nervous about something. And when I say nervous, I mean you're not sensitive to it. And so you just kind of go with the flow. And all of a sudden, we're not fighting the good fight of faith. And then we get in what? We get in the place where we start questioning things. That's what happened to Eve and in the garden. All of a sudden, the devil started saying certain things. And who wouldn't want to be like God? I want to be like God, don't you? But see, there's no shortcuts. You and I, we're being sanctified every day. And we're becoming more like Jesus every day as we walk in the Word of God. But the devil wants to give you an instantaneous solution. And a lot of times, that's what we really want, is an instantaneous solution. But in truth, we don't. Because God is looking for the things that build character, like you were talking about this morning, Brother Corey. Character that build. Character is what makes you strong. Character is what makes your witness sharp. It'll cut through lies. It'll cut through deception. It'll touch a heart that has been turned upside down, inside out by the devil, and it'll cause them to see and receive Jesus. Amen. And so don't be in that place where you're always filtering everything you see, everything you hear by this Bible. You've got to have this word in your life to filter out lies. It shows you the truth. Not only does it show you the truth, Brother Larry, it shows you the motive behind what's being said. See, the devil, he talked to Eve in all the right ways, but the God that you and I know wanted her to see through that angel of light. Right. Wanted her to see that what he was doing and saying. And so Paul is getting Timothy, he's getting us ready in this reality that we've got to know our calling and we've got to keep professing this good profession before many witnesses. Why are we fighting this good fight of faith? Because you are the only thing that is presenting Jesus to this world. Right. Our government's not going to present Jesus. They're going to present a church. All of those things, they're going to present those things that they want, but they're not going to present anything that would challenge somebody to be better, to be born again, to be made and looking like Jesus. And so we got to be on guard for this. Now drop down and notice what he said in verse 17. He said, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly. How many things? All things to enjoy. You know, I've went and got some things on my own because I didn't want to do it God's way. I didn't want what God wanted. I wanted what I wanted. Guess what? There wasn't any joy in it. No joy. There was problems. There was trouble. There was struggles. And you know, everything that I had to try to get a hold of that I thought I wanted, I had to sacrifice what was right and important and true to keep it. The things that God gives you, it's yours. You don't have to struggle to keep it. It's yours. He's gave it to you. And he stamped it and he's placed it in your life. And so right now we're seeing right now there's a group of rich people in this world. And you know who I'm talking about. We don't have to name it. And they're working for the devil. And they're trying to bring destruction to our nation. They're working to take, to steal your relationship with Jesus, to steal my relationship with Jesus, but they're working to steal your health and my health. And they're bringing forth all of these ideals and these programs, and they're working in a way that the devil loves because it's affecting our health, physical health. It's affecting our emotional health. And so right now, the influx of what we're seeing is by these evil spirits. It's bringing deception. But there is so much pesticides in our food, you know, and we're not talking about conspiracy theory. We're talking about reality. We're talking about truth. Atrazine. Come on, look it up. See what the side effects of this chemical is, and see why we're having confusion among our young people where they don't know who they are. Come on, this is a plot of the devil. And so what you and I, we've got to stand up and we've got to teach people how to pray. You and I, we don't have access to a lot of things in ourselves. And so we got to say grace over our food. I mean, God's got to bless it, Brother Larry. If he don't bless it, we're in trouble. I mean, no matter what you eat or what you drink, you and I, we've got to depend on God to put in it what we need, because there's a lot of things that's not in our food anymore. Come on, our land is so nutrient poor. It used to be nutrient dense, but now it's poor. But it's all these other things that the devil's doing. And so we've got to have this blessing in our lives. And we've got to see that a rich person that is serving the world, the devil, they're not for you. They come in, they try to act like they're doing good things, but they're not doing good things. There's a ploy behind it. So we got to fight the good fight of faith. In other words, we can't let the outside of what somebody's doing get our support. Right. We got to know in our spirit whether it's of God or not. And if it's not, we don't support it. Not only do we not support it, but we don't put our mouth behind our hand. We don't close our eyes. Come on, it's time for the church to stand up and be just as bright and bold as we can possibly be. And this is what we're going to do. Amen. Yes, sir. If it doesn't match up with this, you're exactly right. That's our only source, is to question it. I agree. Hallelujah. Now, notice what he says there in verse 18. They that do good, they be rich in good works, ready to distribute and willing to communicate. You and I, we need to know that God can save these people. You know, we always want to do what the Lord would have us to do. And we, if we're not careful, we look to man to be our source. And we think, well, I wish that they would give money to the church, or they would give this to the church and that to the church. But Jesus said he'd build his church. And so he's the source of it. But at the same time, you and I, we don't need to be in the place where we hate people. We need to be in the place where we are compassionate. And we don't like what they're doing, but we want them to come out of their deeds. Because they can come into verse 18. They can start doing good. Can you imagine if some of these people we're talking about, all of a sudden, they started putting their money to the gospel? Hey, it's possible. It's possible. God, he's not a God that cannot save. His hand is not too short. His ear is not too heavy. Come on, he can reach out and touch them. And so what we want to do is we want to fight the good fight of faith and say, oh, I'm not giving up on that person. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to be in that place. The church needs to be proactive, and we need to be proactive from the standpoint that we believe that God's not willing that any should perish. If he's not willing, that means of what? He's got grace that is sufficient, that will touch their heart. And so you and I, we can't fall into the science of this world. We can't accept the knowledge of this world. Well, it's just the way it is. No, it's not the way it is. If it had been the way it was, you and I, we would be on our way to hell this morning. But Jesus stepped into this world in this earthly tabernacle to change the way it was, to make it the way God wanted it to be. And so we want to be in that place where we're fighting this good fight of faith. Now, look what he said. Drop down to verse 20. He said, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. You and I, we need to, as we're closing out this year, you and I, we need to just spend some time alone with the Lord. Just get in our heart, in our prayer closet. And just say, Lord, what have you entrusted to me that I haven't fully understand, or I haven't fully implemented in my life? because I want to take it. I realize as I'm letting go of this old year and I'm fixing to step in this new year, I want to be in that place where I can take this commitment to a new level. A new level. And so he notice what he said there. He said, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Now, that means that your Father in heaven, he looked at you and he said, I'm going to entrust you with some truth. I'm going to entrust you with the anointing to live out that truth. I'm going to give you, as he said it earlier in the scripture, a witness. You've got to believe that you're a witness. You're a testimony, Brother Jason, for the living God, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Henry, you're here today, this morning. The devil's tried to kill you all year, but you're here on the last day of the year just as happy as you were on the first day. Amen? Because you've been entrusted some truths. And so what I want to do, what you want to do, we want to be in that place where everything that is science, everything that is a knowledge that starts raising its head up against that truth, that we know what's been committed to us. See, you're truth bearers. You're light bearers. You're love givers. Amen. All of these things, you got to recognize who you are and fight this good fight. You got to recognize the resurrection in your life in every situation, because the things that were dead in your life, now they're alive. They're alive and well, and they're being sourced. I mean, it's hard to wrap our minds around it. They're being sourced from the throne of God. Brother Green, everything that you need is coming from the throne of God. Everything. So let's think about this now. He said, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. And he said, here's how you can know that you're keeping it. Avoiding profane and vain babblings. Now, what you and I have got to be cautious of, every one of us, we are curious about things. God made us to be curious. He did. But the old saying, curiosity kills the... We need to know what he made us to be curious about. There's things in my life this morning that I wish I could unlearn. Anybody feel the same way? I learned it because I was curious about it, and I let the devil take me in that direction. And now I've got a battle with that every once in a while, where I wouldn't even have had to do that if I'd just been led by the Spirit of God. See, our flesh wants to know certain things. And especially if they seem a little titillating, a little exciting, a little, you know what I mean? That's it. Come on, that's the flesh. But after you learn that, then you've got to deal with it. Somebody, they'll come to you and they'll want to know something about somebody. And so what I tell them a lot of the time, do you really want to know? Because then you're going to, when you see that person, when you talk to that person, that's going to be in the back of your mind. Are you strong enough to let the Spirit take you past that? See, we've got to be very cautious. So what we want to do is we want to know people after the Lord. We want to know, that's what Paul said. He said, I know people after the Lord. And so when you and I are in that place, when we start fighting this good fight of faith, we're able to avoid those things that would be a hindrance to us. There's certain things I don't need to know, and I don't want to know. But my flesh will always want to know that. But guess what? My spirit, your spirit, can dominate the flesh. You and I, we have the victory in Jesus. Jesus shows us how to walk above the flesh and walk in the spirit, where we can always be in love. And love is that place of victory, Brother Green, that never fails. That love that conquers all things. And so notice this. He said right here, he said, avoid these profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. In other words, the world has a science, and God is the originator. He's the creator of science. So what I've got to do, I've got to put everything that comes to me, I've got to say, okay, that's knowledge. That's something I can know. That's something I can recognize and I can understand. But I've got to filter it through this word. Right. This is the only filter you need. Right. When you've got the Holy Spirit in your life, and you do, because you're a Christian, you're born again. When you've got the Holy Spirit, He'll take what you just saw or what you just heard, and He'll help you fight the good fight of faith. He'll take that situation and it'll come through this whole Bible, and when it gets to the back side of it, then you know the truth. You know the truth that makes you free, where you don't have to judge that person. You don't have to be limited by that person. You don't have to be hurt by that person. Come on, you can let 2023, let it go by the wayside and come into 2024 and have an acceleration in the goodness and the promises of God. Amen? But you're going to have to fight. I'm going to have to fight. Why? Because the devil's going to come against you. He's going to try to grab. He's got a good hook. And He wants to put it in you, and He wants to turn you back to the past. He wants to turn me back to the past. But we avoid those things. And we say, no, I'm not going to give up the truth. Because, see, every area, let's be honest with each other this morning. Every area in your life that you don't have perfect peace. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you the truth. You can search it out yourself. Every area in your life that you don't have perfect peace, it's because the devil's put a hook and you've sacrificed the truth. And when you sacrifice the truth, you can't have the peace. Because Jesus is the truth, but He's also the peace speaker. He's the peace giver. He is your peace. So what I want to do is I want to come back and I want to say, Lord, I've made it through this year. You've been with me every day. You've been faithful. You've blessed me. You've helped me. But I want to come back to this commitment of trust. And I want the Holy Spirit to put in my heart this truth that will empower me, embolden me, where I can have peace in this area. And I can start this new year off with a new hope, a new confidence of what You have for me. That You're going to help me to start filtering things through this Bible. Don't you love it that you can read a newspaper, or you can watch a news program, or you can have a conversation with somebody at the gas pump or at the checkout stand, and you don't have to depend on what they tell you? You can take everything they say and you let the Spirit of God take it through this word, and then it doesn't have to affect you negatively. Right. Brother Corey, the Lord's got so much coming up for us. He does. He's got so many good things. He wants you and I to be in the place where we can rejoice at all times. And the way that we can do that is by letting this Bible be our filter. Let it be the truth. See, because all of a sudden, if I let the world filter me, I don't know about you, but if I let the world filter me, I start talking like the world. Oh, yeah. I don't want to talk like the world. I'm not of the world. Amen. I want to talk like Jesus did. So imagine Jesus, He was in all of that negativity. He was around the religious, the scribes and the Pharisees and all those things. But yet He was around the sinners. And what did He do? He loved the sinners into salvation. And He brought correction to those who would receive in the Pharisees. And even Nicodemus come to Him by night and all of those things. And then we know what happened after Jesus was crucified. So there's some amazing things that Jesus did. And He did it because He had to fight the good fight of faith. And He filtered everything. He didn't let what anybody say, He didn't let it move Him. Now, if you don't hear anything else this morning, hear this. What the Lord wants to do for us as we finish this year out and start this new year, He wants you and I to be in a place and a position where the most negative person that's always had an impact in your life, or negative situation that's always had the biggest impact and ill effect in your life, He wants you to be able to look at that through this. And then all of a sudden, that no longer impacts you. It doesn't change your attitude. It doesn't change the way you feel. It doesn't change your ability to hope. It doesn't change your speech. Right. Because if we can do that, then we fought the good fight of faith, and we're in that place where we're avoiding all of those things. Amen? Okay, real quick, go to 2 Timothy and look at chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, here's how we do it. He said, verse 13, he said, hold fast, 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So this, you and I, we're going to have to, sometimes, can I just be honest with you? That sometimes the enemy comes at me so strong, and I know that without submission to the Lord, I'll fail. I know how quick I'll fall. I'll know how quick I'll get out of His will and His plan. And so literally, I'll just picture whatever verse of Scripture that the Holy Ghost gives me in my heart. I'll picture it. I'll reach out and I'll grab it in my hand. You say, well, that's silly. No, Paul said, hold fast that form. So what I'm doing, by an act of faith, I'm saying, God, I'm in a fight. I'm trying to fight the good fight of faith, but I'm in a place where I will lose without you. I need your, so when he, whatever Scripture he gives, reach out and just grab it and say, Lord, I'm holding on to this. This is my victory. This word, this is my source of peace. This is my source of truth. This is my source of being able to walk through the lies and come to the place of always succeeding. Right. Remember that's what he told Joshua? He said, here's how you have good success. Come on, keep your eyes on the word. Focus on the word. And he said, you shall have good success. That means you can't fail. And that may not be success according to the world, but it's success, of course, to Jesus. And that's eternal. Amen. Okay, notice this. He said, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Notice this. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep, how do we do it? Keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Okay, the Holy Spirit hears everything that God the Father speaks through the Son Jesus, and He brings it, and He lives in you. He lives in me. So what I've got to do is I've got to say, wait a minute, that good thing, Jesus is that word that I need, and He's committed that word to me, so I can keep that word. I can hold on to that word. I can apply that word. I can live by that word, by the Holy Spirit. So when I really remind myself of 1 John 4:4, we all quote it, but we need to just hold on to it, that you and I, the greater one, the Holy Ghost, the greater one lives in you. And so I can try the spirits and I can know whether they're of God or not. And then I can let that Holy Spirit keep that word. In other words, can when I start to grow weary and I can't hold my arms up anymore, like Moses, God will bring an Aaron and a Hur in my life. Amen. And help me hold my arms up because I'm in the place of rejoicing. I'm in the place of praise. I'm in that place of success. So I've got to hold on. I've got to fight this fight, but I've got to do it by the help of the Holy Spirit. That when I start getting tired, I realize that I've stepped away from the Spirit of God and start trying to work it out on my own. But the moment that I repent of that, when I recognize it and I realize it, then that Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that same Spirit is in you, in me, lifts us up. Amen? All right, just a minute and I'll let you go. Now notice, he said, you're going to have some trouble in your life. Look at verse 15. This knowest that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. From the Greek, this Paul says, hey, they're ashamed of me. Because they looked at the trials of Paul and they looked at his chains and they looked at the marks. He said, I bear the mark of Jesus Christ. I bear it in my body. Paul, he had the scars from fighting the good fight of faith. He had the scars from being stoned to death and the Spirit of God raising him back up. He had the scars. Can you imagine where that venomous beast attached on his hand and he shook that off? Everywhere Paul went, I bet you could see the scars of where that viper bit him. Come on, it was a testimony of God's goodness. This morning, there's some things in your spirit that you need to see that the devil says is scars, but they're not evil. They're not weak. They're not defeated. They are a witness and a testimony that you're fighting the good fight of faith. Amen? Thou knowest that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are, notice this, he names some people that we need to get a hold of, Phygelus. His name means fugitive. He's a fugitive. So the devil is a thief. He's the original fugitive, the one who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. They are Phygelus and Hermogenes. Hermogenes means the voice of the gods of this world. So you're going to have somebody in your life. I'm going to have somebody in my life that the devil is going to send there, and they're going to try to steal things of truth. They're going to try to steal your peace, rob you of the joy and all those things. And they're going to do it by different voices. Oh, it's okay. The devil, he'll come and sit down with you on the altar. He's not afraid of your altar. He's afraid of the one who is the Lord of your altar. Amen? So when those voices start coming, start saying, Lord, by your Spirit, filter this. Because I'm fighting the good fight of faith. I'm not going by what I know in this world. I'm not going to let the whole world is going to come against God's two witnesses. They're going to be slain in the streets of Jerusalem for the truth. And they're going to have a party. They're going to have a 3-day party. And they're going to let them lay in the streets. But can you imagine the look on their face and the fear in their minds when they stand up? Because they're going to stand up and they're going to rise. Because God is not the God of the dead. God is the God of the living. Amen? All right, let's close with one verse. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 1. You know this verse very well, but I want to lay our eyes on it and read it together. Look at verse number 7. Proverbs 1 and 7. The fear or the awesomeness of God, the reverence of God is the beginning of what? Knowledge. There's your word. Paul said in the last days there would be a knowledge, there'd be a science that would be going forth. Because why? People are being blinded to this Bible. There's a Christian over in Pakistan. He's been in prison for 6 years. He's 22 years old. He got arrested when he was 16 because he got saved. They're going to execute him in a few days. And nobody's doing anything about it, but just a handful of people. This ought to be broadcast everywhere. We need to be praying. We need to be standing. He's a brother in Christ. We're going to be in heaven with him. They're going to kill him because he's in a place where they don't believe like we believe. He needs prayer. But see, there's a contrary. There's no fear. There's no reverence of God. But you and I, as the church of the living God, we need to stand and bring forth that true knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Notice this. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So you and I, what we need to do is we need to be in that place, in that position. This is our barometer. This is our template. If the filter isn't working in the way that you want it to, if you haven't got accustomed to it, or if you haven't been able to implement it as you should, then you can take this verse and you can stand on this verse. You're in a situation. You hear somebody talking to you. They're saying this or they're saying that. And in your spirit, you know what they're saying. Something isn't just quite right. So you present a truth that's got Jesus on it. If they despise that, then all of a sudden, you know the truth. You know where they're at. You know what the source is. And then you're able to step back from the situation. You can pray for them, but you don't let them influence you. The moment that we let somebody influence us, whether it in anger, in sadness, whatever it might be, in jealousy, all of a sudden we've gave them more power and we've gave them the place of awesomeness. There's only one awesome God, the Lord God Almighty. He's awesome. And you and I, we don't need to let anybody else have that place and position of influence in our life to turn us away from God. Amen? So you and I, we're going to fight the good fight of faith. We're going to be in that place where we're going to start recognizing things like we've never seen before. And this is going to be our filter. It's going to be the one that ensures our place of success. So as we close this year out, would you just come to a place this morning where you'd say, Lord, I want to make sure that I'm closing the door of this year of every hurt, every heartache, everything that influenced me maybe of this world that I didn't have the filter, I didn't have the understanding to. I want to give that to you. And then I'm going to be in that place where I'm going to let you talk to me, and I'm going to let you show me the next level of commitment. I'm going to show me. I'm going to let you show me what you want me to do, because see, it's not over for you and I. It's just beginning.
Amen.
It's just beginning, because the battle is real. The battle is more needful now than ever before. And so what he's going to do, he's going to show you what he's committed into you. There's a new level that you have not seen, that you've not understood. I haven't seen, I haven't understood. And we're going to walk in that.
Yeah.
And it's going to be an amazing witness for him. It's going to bring a truth to a people who need to know it like never before. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I thank you for your goodness and your kindness. I thank you for what you've done for us this year. You've been faithful. There's not been one second that you haven't been mindful of your children. You have met all of our needs. There may be times when we was waiting and it looked like we was in wanting and it looked like there was no way. But Jesus, you become that way, and those needs were met, and we thank you. We praise you for it. I asked you this morning that you just get a hold of our heart, and by the precious Holy Spirit, give us the word of what you've committed to us, and let us allow it to be developed, and let us go to that next level, and let us shun vain babblings, empty knowledge, things of this world, but let us embrace and accept, and let us run this race by the word that you're filtering our lives through. We'll be quick to praise you for it, or we ask you in the name of Jesus. Would you come this morning and make yourself an altar, or make yourself an altar at your chair, whatever you feel comfortable doing. Just let the Spirit of God talk to you this morning. Let him encourage you and build you up. I want you to know that you are loved with an everlasting love. God loves you so much. And in his eyes, you cannot fail. Because when God looks at you, he sees the blood of Jesus on your life. And the blood of Jesus is the answer, is the solution. The blood of Jesus is the victor. Would you this morning let him just put you in that place for those things? Some of you need to be able to say bye to some relationships and to some things that are dead. You need to let God take you into the new, but you've got to let go of the old to come into the new. Would you let him help you with that this morning in Jesus' name?